भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 Chapter 20, text 11. Chapter entitled Bali Maharaj Surrenders the Universe. Yajanti Yajna Kratubir Yam Adrita Bhavanta Amnaya Vidhana Kovida Sa Eva Vishnu Varado Astuva Haro Dasyami Amusmai Shitim Ipsitam Mune Yajanti Yajnam Kratubiryam Adartha Bhavanta Amnaya Vidana Kovida Saeva Vishnur Varado Stuvaparo Dasyami Amusmai Shitim Ipsitam Mune Yajanti Yajnam Krutibiryam Adartha Bhavanta Amnaya Vidhana Kovida Saeva Vishnur Varadostu Aparo Tasyami Amusmai Shitim Ipsitamune Matajis, please. Yajanti, worship. Yajnam, who is the enjoyer of sacrifice. Kratubi, by the different paraphernalia for sacrifice. Yam, unto the Supreme Person. Adrita, very respectfully. Bhavanta, all of you. Amnaya vidhana kovida. Great saintly persons, fully aware of the Vedic principles of performing sacrifice. Sa, that. Eva, indeed. Vishnu is Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Varada, either He is prepared to give benedictions. Astu, He becomes. Va, or. Para, comes as an enemy. Dasyami, I shall give. Amusmai, unto Him, unto Lord Vishnu, Vamanadev. Shitim, the tract of land. Ipsitam, whatever He has desired. Mune, O great sage. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, O great sage, great saintly persons like you, being completely aware of the Vedic principles for performing ritualistic ceremonies and yajnas, worship Lord Vishnu in all circumstances. Therefore, whether that same Lord Vishnu has come here to give me all benedictions or to punish me as an enemy, I must carry out His order and give Him the requested tract of land without hesitation. Purport. As stated by Lord Shiva, Aradhananam Sarvesam Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam Padma Purana. Although in the Vedas there are recommendations for worshipping many demigods, Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Person, and worship of Vishnu is the ultimate goal of life. The Vedic principles of Varnashrama institution are meant to organize society to prepare everyone to worship Lord Vishnu. Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Parapuman Vishnur Aradhyate Panta Nanyat Tatto Sakaranam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, is worshipped by the proper execution of prescribed duties in the system of Varna and Ashrama. There is no other way to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu Purana 389. One must ultimately worship Lord Vishnu, and for that purpose the Varnashrama system organizes society into Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, Sudras, Brahmacharis, Grihastas, Vanaprastas and Sannyasis. Bali Maharaj, having been perfectly educated in devotional service by his grandfather Prahlad Maharaj, he knew how things are to be done. He was never to be misguided by anyone, even by a person who happened to be his so-called spiritual master. This is the sign of full surrender. Bhakti Vinod Thakur said, Maravi Rakabi Yo Ichitavar Nitya Dasa Prati Tuya Adhikar. When one surrenders to Lord Vishnu, one must be prepared to abide by His orders in all circumstances. Whether He kills one or gives one protection, Lord Vishnu must be worshipped in all circumstances. Om Agyanatim Rindasiganjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Militamena Dasmai Sri Guruve Namaha. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Devamrita Swamini Tinamine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Destarini. ಜೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶಿವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ, ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ. ಸೊ ಲೈಕ್ ಗ್ರ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಫಾದರ್ ಆಫ್ ಬಲಿ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಸೆಡ್, ನತೇ ವಿದು ಸ್ವಾರ್ಥ ಗತಿಂ ಹೇ ವಿಷ್ಣು ದುರಾಸಯಾಜಿ ಬಹಿರರ್ಥ ಮಾನಿನಸ್ ಅಂಧಾ ಯಥಾಂಧೈರ್ ಉಪನಿಯಮಾನಸ್ ತೇಪೀಶು ತಂತ್ರ ಉರುಧಾಮ್ನಿ ಬದ್ಧ. ಪ್ರಹ್ಲಾದ್ ಮಹಾರಾಜ್ ಸೇಸ್ ದ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ ಇಸ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಡೋಂಟ್ ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ದ ರಿಯಲ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಇಂಟ್ರೆಸ್ಟ್ ಇಸ್. They don't know that the goal of life is Vishnu, Swartha Gatim Hi Vishnu. And bewildered by the external energy, Bahirartha Maninas, and also guided by blind leaders, everybody is bound. Tepishu Tantra Uru Dhamni Bhadda. So, Prahlad Maharaj summarized everything in this one verse, like same thing Prabhupada is saying, the goal of life is to know Vishnu. and also so many other verses Srila Prabhupada has given us, this beautiful Srimad Bhagavatam, especially the seventh canto, the favorite pastimes of all the acharyas and all the most of the devotees, Narsingadev pastimes. And Prabhupada also personally taught the devotees how to draw the paintings for all these pastimes. So it's so authorized. And I was reading one letter, Prabhupada is saying to the artist devotee, Prabhupada is saying, don't draw Hiranyakashipu with a pipe. It looked like the devotees drew him with a pipe. Prabhupada said Hiranyakashipu was a non-smoker. So I was thinking, you know, the greatest of the demon, he had some intelligence, you know, he didn't even smoke. So we were given these authorized teachings, seventh canto, and all the other cantos, so we can understand all these beautiful teachings of the great acharyas, great Vaishnavas. And we saw how Sukracharya's sons, Sanda and Amarka, they were actually the teachers of Prahlad Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj is dealing with Sukracharya now, but his grandfather actually studied under the sons of Sukracharya. So he carries a lot of respect and weight. And the same thing Prahlad Maharaj also went through. You know, he was trying to surrender to Vishnu, but they were training him and preaching to him, otherwise, you know, don't do it. So this is the material world. Material world basically means envy of Krishna. And everybody is willing to surrender to anything and everything except Krishna. And there's always somebody that stops us from giving it to Krishna. We see this on book distribution all the time. There'll be like a couple, and one will be interested, the other one will be like so against it. Or the kids will be interested, and the parents will be against it, and the parents will be into it, and the kids will drag them away. And it's again and again, you see, it's always somebody that's, you know, won't let us to give it to Krishna. But the point is, we have to surrender to somebody. That's the nature of the Jivatma. Keshagra satabhagasya satata kalpitasya cha. The soul is so infinitesimal, and he's not, you know, he has to serve somebody, he has to depend on somebody. Like Prabhupada said to the Professor Kotoksky, that, you know, you're surrendering to Lenin and you're serving him and you're taking his teachings. It's not like, you know, and we are hearing from Krishna, who is the perfect person. So we have to follow somebody, but due to envy in this material world, you know, our family and friends, and material world is so bad, you can see, Even the guru is stopping the disciple from surrendering to Krishna. It can happen. Everything can be expected here. So this is the mentality. It's like one time my Guru Maharaj was giving the example. Because one devotee, Mataji, she was so broken-hearted that her friends were not taking to Krishna consciousness and they were like avoiding her and against her. So my Guru was saying, just like if you're in a gang, all of a sudden you find out, you know, one of the gang members is associating with the police. How is the rest of the gang members going to feel? The gang members, the last thing they want to think about is the police. And here you are, you're very closely associating with the police. How are they going to feel? Naturally, they're going to avoid you. Same thing, we have come to this world to forget Krishna and, you know, trying to imitate Krishna. And all of a sudden, you know, somebody is reminding them of Krishna and chanting Krishna's name and offering everything to Krishna and wearing tilak and bowing down to Krishna. It's too much. But a real guru is one who introduces us to Vishnu, Vishnu Bhakti. This without bhakti, and you know, there is no question of you know, Krishna accepting anything from us. And Prabhupada also explains this word bhakti can be only applicable to Vishnu, not to any of the demigods. Only devotees of Vishnu are called bhaktas, the others are called shaktas. So everybody talks about this word bhakti and devotion, but unless we are surrendering to Krishna or Vishnu, there is no question of bhakti. And without bhakti, Krishna is not impressed. It's actually said in one of the pastimes of Srimad Bhagavatam, just like when you go near a fragrant flower tree or a bush, you can smell the fragrance from a distance. Similarly, when we go and stand in front of Krishna, Krishna can actually smell the devotion that the devotee carries. So we can't fool Krishna. Krishna knows what we have and what's our goal. It's like one of the Goswamis, Gopal, what's the other Gopal? And the other one, Gopal? Huh? Gopal Das? Anyway, one of the Goswamis, was it Gopal Bhatta? Anyway, let me tell you the story so you know who it is. he was actually going on the way to see Lord Chaitanya, and there was this great devotee of Ram. He joined him. And this devotee that joined the Goswami was, you know, always chanting the names of Ram and always immersed in the names of Ram and displaying ecstatic symptoms and like that. And he insisted he will carry the Goswami's belongings. And the Goswami was feeling like really bad that, you know, such an amazing devotee is carrying my stuff. But anyway, he insisted so much. But then when they both went to Lord Chaitanya embraced the Goswami and gave him so much mercy, but he ignored this Ram Bhakta as if he doesn't even exist. The Goswami is thinking, what's going on, you know? I'm nobody and this is a great devotee of Ram and Mahaprabhu is not giving any mercy. But Mahaprabhu can understand this person is chanting the names of Ram, but his goal is to become one with Ram. He wanted to become Ram himself. So Mahaprabhu avoided him. So when we go in front of Krishna, Krishna can understand our heart. We can't fool him, our motivations. So this is the beauty of coming across a bona fide spiritual master. He actually teaches us how to love Krishna, how to love Vishnu. But the problem is, it's not very easy to find a bona fide spiritual master in Kali Yuga. There's so many cheaters. But if we do come across one, we are actually very fortunate. This famous verse, Brahmanda Brahmite Kon Bhagivan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. The soul is wandering up and down like a roller coaster ride within this material universes. But when a soul comes across Guru and Krishna, The verse doesn't say Krishna and Guru, it says Guru Krishna Prasadepai. Comes across a spiritual master who will introduce him to Krishna. He's actually called Bhagyavan Jeev, is the most fortunate soul. And Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita, in the beginning, that we should surrender to the bona fide spiritual master. And the bona fide spiritual master is saying that we should surrender to Krishna. It's a beautiful teamwork to take us back to Godhead. And Krishna is empowered, his dear representatives, to give us love for Krishna, like Prabhupada gave to so many people. There's actually this example that shows how Krishna has given the power to the spiritual master to give us Krishna. It's like this old person, old man, he was very wealthy and he had a lot of hobbies. And one of them was he would collect all kinds of paintings, very valuable paintings. And the old man's son was in the military and the son died in the war. And one of the son's friends, he actually drew a painting of the son and brought it to this old man and gave it to him, I know you miss your son so much, I wanted to offer this to you. And the old man also passed away and all the paintings actually came to the auction. And the first painting, all kinds of wealthy people were waiting in the auditorium to buy paintings. And the first painting that came in auction was the son's painting. And, all these rich people, they're thinking, we don't even know who this guy is, what kind of painting this is, what is the auction. So they were not interested, they were bored. But somebody bought it. Somebody said, okay, I'll take it, just to move on with the other ones. But as soon as this person bought the painting of the son, the lawyer said, auction finished. All the other paintings, all the jewelry, all the estate, all the cars, everything goes to this guy that bought this son's painting. Because that's how the old man is written in his will. Everybody was like, almost like there was like a riot. But it makes sense. It belongs to that old man. He can dispose it as he pleases. Like that, Krishna has given to the spiritual master all the right to give himself to us, and we can argue. But the problem is, to come across such a spiritual master is actually very rare. Because the spiritual master is acharya, means one who teaches by his words and actions. You can see it's not like there's no contradictions. Like in this verse it says, Vali Maharaj is saying, if Vishnu has come here to give me benediction or to punish me, in either case I must surrender to him. Same thing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Ashlisyava Padaratam Pinastumam Adarshanam Marmahatam Kurotuva Yatatatava Vidatatu Lampatu Mat Prana Natastu Sa Evana Paraha. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishna, if you embrace me or handle me roughly, make me broken hearted, either way you're my worshipable Lord, unconditional. So this is the mood of a spiritual master, always showing us how to serve Krishna and love Krishna. It's like I was listening to this lecture by Radhanath Maharaj. He was saying how in the last days of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was actually there with him, serving him. And sometimes Bhakti Tirtha Swami would take like 7 or 8 hours to chant his rounds. And with all this pain and cancer and medication, was not even, painkillers were not even working. And Maharaj will be chanting for a long time. So Radhanath Swami said to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj one time, like, you're so exhausted. Why are you chanting all these extra rounds? And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said, actually I'm just chanting like my prescribed rounds, but because I'm in so much pain, I'm not able to concentrate. And when I'm not able to concentrate, then I don't count that beats. I don't move the beats as long as he was not attentive. As long as he was, unless he was attentive, he doesn't move the bead. So he doesn't consider it a round finished unless he was attentive. And this was just a chant, his number of rounds he was taking like 6-7 hours. And also Bhaktirtha Maharaj said to Radhanath Maharaj, you know, this is my connection with Prabhupada. I gave my word to Prabhupada that I'll chant every day 16 rounds. And how can I not chant? In all circumstances I must chant. So this is the devotee, you know, he doesn't complain and criticize Krishna. Because we make all kinds of mistakes due to our uncontrolled senses, and as soon as we face the consequences, then immediately we blame it on Krishna. But a real devotee welcomes all situations and glorifies Krishna in all situations. And to worship Vishnu or Krishna is actually a very exalted position. It's not a cheap thing. Lord Chaitanya, who was, you know, non-different from Radha and Krishna, when he would be called, sometimes the devotees would say, oh, you look just like Narayan himself. You look like, you know, just like Krishna. And he would close his ears and he'd say, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu, Sri Vishnu. It's such an aparadha to consider a living entity to the Supreme. Lord Chaitanya would close his ears. He doesn't want to hear the blasphemy. And Vishnu's position is so exalted that, you know, in the second offense, when we're chanting every day the 10 offenses, it says to consider the names of demigods such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva to be equal to or independent to the holy names of Vishnu. We're not even talking about some ordinary people. We're saying Brahma and Shiva, if you even compare, it's an offense. And what to speak of first offense? The devotees are so exalted, like we read in this verse by Lord Shiva, Aradhananam Sarvesha. Vishnu Aradhanam Param. Topmost is worship of Vishnu. Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchan. To worship the devotees is even greater. So the first offense is actually to, you know, blaspheme devotees, criticize devotees. It's made as the first offense against the holy name. And that's actually the worst thing we can do for our spiritual life. It's explained, even if you're not able to control our senses, still we get some kind of mercy from Krishna that we can do it. But if you're offensive to devotees, then Krishna withdraws all mercy. It's like this example. There was a king and he was distributing all kinds of gifts to the brahmanas. And one day the king was actually distributing prasadam to the brahmanas. And it so happened there was a hawk in the sky. He was carrying a dead snake. And a drop of poison actually fell from the mouth of the snake into the plate of one of the brahmanas. And he ate it and he died. And the brahmana died. And the Yamaraj and his men, they were confused. Who do we give karma to? You can't give karma to a dead snake. You can't give it to the hawk. You can't give it to the king. Because, you know, what did he do? Or we can't give it to the brahmana. So they were scratching their head. And then they put it on hold. And there was actually one guest, one visitor. He was coming to the kingdom. And there was an old lady sitting in the side of the street. So this guest asked, where is such and such king's palace? And the lady gave him directions. And then the lady said, oh, be careful. The king actually poisons brahmanas. When you go to eat in his house, be careful. The king is known to poison brahmanas in the name of serving them. So immediately Yamaraj and his servants, they said, oh, here you go. Give it to her, all the karma. Just because you opened the big mouth. So it says that, you know, if we unnecessarily speak, then we're getting ourselves involved in, you know, this karmic consequences, especially when we're speaking about another devotee. We have to be really, really careful. So all these things are taught. by a bona fide spiritual master. A bona fide spiritual master never teaches, not like, I'm God, you're God, everybody is God, just a question of realizing. Like yesterday I was distributing books in Venice Beach, and this lady told me, oh, I don't need this book, save it for somebody else, you know, I'm already God. I mean, I heard all kinds of excuses, but this one I had to, like, you know, it's a, what she said? Madhavendra Puri was with me, was laughing. He says, I'm already God, save this book for somebody else who's not yet God. So a spiritual master never teaches this kind of bogus philosophy. The spiritual master actually introduces us and teaches us how to love Krishna. Like before Prabhupada came to the West, there were so many editions of Gita. I actually searched, there's actually 250 Bhagavad Gita editions available. But they can't make any devotees. But when Prabhupada translated the Gita, immediately there's millions of devotees. So explaining the pastime of Ramanujacharya, there was this procession going on. You know, there was a Ratha Yatra. And everybody was so absorbed in chanting and dancing, except this one man. He was actually so absorbed in looking at the face of this woman. So Ramanacharya was astonished. I mean, this was like thousands of years ago. You know, people don't do things like that. So Ramanacharya called for him and says, you know, this procession of Vishnu going on, what are you doing, you know? And this person said, you can call me shameless, but I've never seen anything so beautiful as this girl's eyes. And if you can show me something better, then, you know, I surrender to you. Then Ramanujacharya took him to the Ranganath temple, and there was arati going on. And in South Indian temples, the sanctum, the deity room is actually dark, and only when they offer camphor lamp to the deity, you can see. They show to the feet, to his lotus navel, to his face, like that. So Ramanujacharya empowered him to be able to actually see the eyes of Vishnu and to the deity, like that. And when this wrestler, this low-class person who was behaving like that, when he saw that, saw the eyes of Vishnu, he became transformed. And he fell at the feet of Ramanujacharya and became the greatest of the disciples. So much so that the sannyasis and brahmacharis would be envious. Why is Guru Maharaj giving to this householder so much mercy? But there are so many examples of how this devotee who was initiated as Dhanurdas, he did so much service for Ramanujacharya. This is the mercy of a devotee. Labha matra sadhu sangha sarva siddhi ho. Just the labha matra, this time that takes for the upper eyelid to touch the lower eyelid, that's called a labha. So that much time a devotee can give Krishna. And we can see in the pastimes of Prabhupada, at the last days in the 77, where practically like Prabhupada was emaciated and it was just skin and bone and no energy. Still, he wanted to go to London. Prabhupada said, I would rather die spreading Krishna consciousness. Don't take me to the hospital, Prabhupada said. From London, Prabhupada wanted to go to the USA and inspire the devotees here. But his health was so bad that Prabhupada was taken back to Vrindavan. But you can see in the last moments, in the devotee, there's a recording of the final lesson of Prabhupada. Prabhupada is translating Srimad Bhagavatam. The last, you know, moments of his life. It's unbelievable. So Prabhupada gave us best of the both worlds. Not only best of this world. How to live in mortal goodness, how to eat, how to dress, how to be clean, how to do all these things. But also he gave the best of the spiritual world as well. Because he gave us Krishna consciousness, Krishna prema, which is actually the topmost in the spiritual world. Because we're talking about Vishnu worship, but Prabhupada actually gave us Krishna worship. Like Lord Chaitanya was telling Venkata Bhatt when he was traveling in South India in Srirangam. Lord Chaitanya
asked Venkatabhat, why are you worshipping Narayan? Why don't you chant the names of Krishna? And why don't you understand the sweetness of Krishna and his Krishna Leela? It's far more satisfying to the soul. And Venkatabhat said, Krishna and Narayan are the same person. What's the difference? Lord Chaitanya said, that's true. Krishna and Narayan are the same person. If that's the case, why did Lakshmi leave Narayan and wanted to take part in the Rasa Leela pastimes if they were same? Why did she perform all kinds of tapasya and severe austerities to be able to enter into the Rasa Leela pastimes? If they were the same, there must be a reason. And Lord Chaitanya also explained, just like when Krishna left the gopis in Rasa Leela and disappeared, the gopis were actually in search of Krishna. And one stage, Krishna actually transformed himself into four-armed Narayana and he was sitting in the bush. And the gopis were like mad, like searching for Krishna. And then they came across Narayana. Oh, Om Namo Narayanaya. Have you seen Krishna by any chance? They kept going. Even those Vishnus right there, they're in. So Lord Chaitanya said, you know how when the gopis saw Narayana, they had no attraction. But Lakshmi has so much attraction that she even left all this opulence. You know, she's like the queen. You never see paintings of Lakshmi cleaning the floor or carrying, you know, milk or this or that. She's the queen of Vaikuntha. You know. She was willing to give up everything to enter into the pastime. Such a higher rasa. So Prabhupada has given us this topmost of the spiritual world. It's like one time the devotees went to a temple in Vrindavan and there was, you know, devotees were showing so much love for the deities. And the priest, the Brajabasi priest, was so impressed to see the devotees with so much awe and reverence and faith. And the priest said, you know, if you guys continue like this, next life you will get to be a priest like me. Go on like this. And when the devotees brought this news to Prabhupada, Prabhupada said, you know, go back and tell him if he gets to worship the deities nicely like he's doing, next life he will take birth in ISKCON and will get to distribute part of the Sankirtan movement. So it's actually a fact. What, you know, what Prabhupada has given us, we may not realize it in our current development of spiritual life, but as we progress, we understand, you know, we're so undeserving, but Prabhupada has given so much. And by distributing and avoiding offenses, we can actually realize these things. So we have to be conscious and preserve it, not throw it away. Any questions or comments?
Thank you, Prabhu, for a wonderful class. I had a question. It was kind of related to something I was reading the other day in Nectar of Devotion. It was talking about, you know, these different sort of varnashram positions.
Mm-hmm.
And according to what I read there, it said that our acharyas and our line don't consider service like varnashram service, you know, to offering the fruits of varnashram as being on the same platform as the nine, you know, practices of bhakti or the nine processes of bhakti. So, but I was wondering, like, you know, it talks about how there's different kinds of service. You know, there's serving, you know, offering the fruits of sacrifice, and there's doing a sacrifice with the mood of a personal attendant. And I think there was another place where it said that if somebody does, even if somebody is engaged in the nine processes, but they don't have the mentality of a personal attendant, then it's just pious karma. Whereas, so is it possible then that if somebody does these varnashram duties, but they do it with the mood of a personal attendant, would that be considered pure devotional service? I was wondering if there is kind of overlap between those two things.
So many things come into mind when you're asking this question, but the point is, you can be in the varnashrama dharma, but if you're not a devotee, then it says srama eva hi kevalam. How dharma swanistita pumsam visvakshena katasoya notpayadayet yatimrati srama eva hi kevalam. There's one verse in the Bhagavatam says you could be perfectly doing all your duties, but if those duties don't awaken, or if you're not doing that in the mood of offering service to Krishna, then it's just a hard labor, Bhagavatam explains. So it could be in the varnashram dharma. But like we're reading about Sukracharya, you know, he's being glorified as the greatest of the brahmanas. But you can see there's no love for Vishnu. And also when Ramananda Rai was speaking to Lord Chaitanya in this famous discussion, Ramananda Rai was quoting the conclusion of the Vedas. He was quoting like Sarvadharman Paritejya Mamekam Saranam Raja. He was quoting this verse, Varnashrama Charavata Purushena Paratpuman. And Lord Chaitanya said, keep speaking, keep speaking. And then when he came to this conclusion, Sthane Stita Svitigatan Tanuvan Manobir Ye Prayasa Ajita Jita Pita Istrilogi. How is this done? Jnane Prayasa Udapasya Namanteva. Lord Chaitanya, when Ramananda quoted this verse, whoever you are, whatever ashrama, varna you belong to, stay there and just give oral reception to the pastimes of Krishna. And this way you will conquer Krishna, who is unconquerable. So when Ramananda quoted the verse, Lord Chaitanya said, yes, this is the perfection. So when you're reading all these Vedas and Varnashrama and like this, it could be confusing for us. But you can see Prabhupada's, by reading Prabhupada's life and teachings and what he's given, he's actually distilled all this and extracted the essence and give it to us. So whatever we have been given, that's actually the essence and the summary of all this Vedic knowledge, which could be bewildering for us. But if you study what Prabhupada has given us, he's given us the essence. Archita Prabhu.
Jai, nice class. You answered this question in the beginning by stressing the importance of the guru. Because coming out of the same varnashram system, you can become a Mayavadi. Mayavadis, actually, they're more strict about varnashram rules than the devotees. You know, like Prabhupada said, if you want to be a proper follower of Shankaracharya, you have to take sannyas. There's no question of being a householder or anything else. You have to renounce first and then study Vedas, then study Vedanta. So they're very, very strict about varnashram. And their sannyasis are very strict about lying on the floor and only eating this and that. And they're extremely strict varnashram followers, but they don't have any love for Krishna. So the point is, no matter whether you're in varnashram or outside of varnashram, if you don't come in contact with the mercy of Krishna through a devotee, you're not going anywhere in terms of the ultimate goal of life. So you stressed that in the beginning. That is the real situation. You have to get the mercy of Krishna coming through Krishna's devotee, and then you'll be properly situated. Otherwise, even if you follow strictly varnashram, like the Mayavadis, they're more strict followers than the devotees generally. They're extremely strict, but they don't get anywhere because they don't have any love for Krishna. They have not gotten the mercy of the devotee of the Lord.
Jai. Thank you so much. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.